The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy
with Nissan
on News Talk.
Bed and I stumble to the kitchen, pour myself a cup of ambition and yawn and stretch and try to come to life. Jump in the shower and the blood starts pumping. Out on the streets, the traffic starts jumping with folks like me on the job from 9 to 5. Working 9 to 5.
That's Dolly's morning routine, but she's got it all wrong apparently. The British Science Association, I don't know who these people are, but I love their survey. They have found the formula for the perfect morning routine. So this sounds absolutely crazy to me. It's certainly alien to my morning routine. You need to wake up, not get up, you need to wake up at 6:44 a.m., but don't go anywhere. Stay in bed. Don't get out of bed until 7:12 a.m. You then have your breakfast at 7:25 a.m. You must spend 18 minutes eating your breakfast. I don't know what you're doing for the other 16 minutes, but you only need 2 minutes to eat your breakfast. They say spend 18 minutes eating your breakfast, exercise for 21 minutes, and then have a 10-minute shower. A 10-minute shower. In this era of climate crisis, I'm not sure a 10-minute shower is good advice. Anyway, that is, they say, the perfect morning routine. The most bizarre element of that, I think, is waking up at 6:44, but staying in bed static until... Well, you don't have to be static. I guess there's lots of things you could be doing in bed until 7:12 a.m. You can use your imagination. Anyway, 53106. Does this sound like anything close to your morning routine? Do let me know. Now, I mentioned earlier in the show that this report into defective Celtic Tiger homes, well, apartments and duplexes specifically, that has been commissioned by the Minister for Housing, Dara O'Brien, has completed its work. It is on his desk and aspects of it have been published. Eoin O'Brien is a Sinn Féin Housing TD. Eoin, a number of recommendations in this. We're looking at up to 100,000 units, maybe 2.5 billion of taxpayers' money. Would you give the government at least some credit for, well, eventually grasping this nettle?
Well, first of all, I want to welcome the report and I want to give enormous credit to the working group, an independent working group, including homeowners from the Construction Defects Alliance and the Apartment Owners Network. This is a really substantial report with very, very significant findings and recommendations that government needs to implement. Let's not forget, it's 11 years since the residents of Priory Hall were forced to evacuate their homes on foot of a court order arising from Celtic Tiger era fire safety defects. For over a decade, thousands and thousands of people, many of them homeowners, but also many of them tenants, have been living in defective buildings with enormous financial and emotional stress and strain. Some have spent thousands of euros to try and remediate their homes. Others have lost insurance or raised insurance is raised. They're living in properties. They don't know how unsafe they are. And many more are to come. And really, because these defects happened on the government's watch, they happened because of light touch regulation introduced in the 90s, just before the Celtic Tiger by Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, the state can't walk away from this. And therefore, I think the single most important element of this report is there has to be a redress scheme. There's a number of ways of doing that. And the most sensible and quickest way to do that is to take the Pilot Resolution Board that's been since 2014 remediating that other defect that we've been dealing with historically, pyrite and foundations, and simply repurpose that vehicle and allow it to continue its work, but to start to tackle the legacy of fire safety and water ingress defects.
The Minister for Housing is going to be joining me in about 35 minutes time, and I'll ask him about that specifically. I would imagine he will not have an issue with the idea of a redress scheme. That is the point of the report to a degree. Where the wicket gets a little stickier is the funding for it and the idea of a levy on developers and builders in this country across the board to fund it, whether you pursue individual builders who were responsible for some of this dodgy building during the Celtic Tiger, or whether it's funded out of the Exchequer directly. £2.5 billion. I mean, have you a preference? What's Sinn Féin's position?
Yes, we have a very long-standing position and we've articulated this in alternative budgets for many years, where we need a single redress scheme where homeowners who did not cause defects do not have to pay for those defects, and where the Exchequer and industry make contributions to fund that scheme. And that has to fund defective blocks in the Western Seaboard, pyrite in the foundations in the Eastern Seaboard, and all of these Celtic Tiger structural defects as well. It's a very, very big bill, and I don't doubt the scale of it. We understand that Pascal Donoghue is currently looking at the issue of an industry levy. He, by way of a parliamentary question back to myself and others, has indicated that they might have something in this budget and they're looking at a figure of 80 million. And I think that's the kind of order plus, because it's not just construction, it's also quarries, block manufacturers, banks, and non-life insurance.
That automatically, though, gets passed on to home buyers, doesn't it? I mean, they're not going to take a levy out of their own profit margin. So it's the first time buyers looking to buy a house in 6 months' time, they're going to be paying for this.
Even if it is taken out of their margin, they'll find some way of trying to recoup it. But here's the issue: when you read through this report, and I read it this morning when I got a copy, the enormity of what industry did hits you over and over again. So the idea that we would just say, "Well, that's okay, folks." Industry gets to walk away cost-free is not acceptable. Industry has to play a part in this, because you could equally say, well, why should the taxpayer today?
Yeah, I get that sentiment, but your suggestion is not that they pay a cost, it's that they administer a cost that the home purchaser will pay.
I think government should look very, very carefully at whether it's a levy, a contribution or a tax, to try and find a way to ensure industry makes its contribution and it's not passed on. But I'm also living in the real world. And when we've had levies before because of bad industry behaviour, for example, the banking levy, as we've had, or indeed the insurance levy, elements of that have been passed on. But let us not lose sight of what's happening here. Thousands of homeowners worked hard to save money, took out mortgages, bought homes, and they are living in buildings with fire safety and structural defects.
Yeah.
They are the people who should not pay. And the state and industry has to come up to the table and put the money to fix these homes. What is more important, in my view, is that we have to get this remediation scheme up and running very quickly. We've seen the debacle from 2018 to 2022 with defective block, and that's still not up and running. And there is a quick way for Dara O'Brien to deal with both the retrospective claims that this report recommends should be addressed and the forward funded. Take the Pyrite Resolution Board, repurpose it, allow OMCs and house, apartment and duplex owners to apply for that next year. That has some money in the pot. It can be increased as is required. But it is going to take us a decade or more to clean up this mess of Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael, light touch regulation, and the developers of the Celtic Tiger. But the people who should not have to pay are the homeowners. Those who have put money into remediation to date, those who are going to have to put money into remediation in the future, they should not be paying.
You mentioned,
they did nothing wrong and they deserve remediation.
You mentioned Priory Hall, there was Longboat Quay, there was the Beacon South Quarter, there was Midfield Manor, there was Riverwalk Court as well in County Meath. Mark Fitzmaurice, one of the residents there. Mark, how much peace of mind would it have been for you and your neighbours had there been a redress scheme in place, so that when you noticed the problems, the water ingress, the fire safety issues, that there would have been a state agency you could have gone to got the problem solved?
Yeah, hi, Kieran. Thanks for having me on. Definitely would have given us some peace of mind for sure. Obviously, when you come across defects like this in your structural defects and the defects as bad as we had in Riverwalk Court, you would expect the local competent authority as your first port of call would be the ones that would help you out. Unfortunately, in Meath County Council, even though we had presented the fire officers with report after report after report, they were literally no help whatsoever, even as they were granting planning permission to a developer who was still building around the county, even with reports sitting on their desk to show, you know, that there was major structural defects in previous developments that this guy had built. It was only when yourselves came out and we started to get some national media attention that kind of embarrassed the council into action. But even still, you know, with insurances and levies, we'll all pay for levy. You know, that'll just be passed on. If it's government-funded redress scheme, that's also we're going to pay for that as taxpayers. Mm. Really, the solution going forward, to draw a line under this, is we have to stop this happening in the future. And the regulations, as they're in place today, aren't going to stop what's happening now, or what happened previously, because they're still relying on professionals to sign off on their own work, where a builder will hire an architect and the architect will sign off. We need to stop it. There's a good solution just up the road here in Northern Ireland, where you know, as you build in stages, the council inspects each stage, and then you get to move on past the foundations. They're inspected by the local authority, and then you can move on to the building the block work and all of that kind of stuff. So that's a solution, because we need to stop this happening. Also, individually licensed builders. You know, I think it's galling for people that have bought an apartment that's shown to have serious defects, and then to see those same developers and builders, you know, starting up different companies and new companies and then continuing to build on with no consequence whatsoever. Individual licensing of builders and developers and architects that are involved in construction, and if they've proven to be, you know, not able to build either, you know, through for whatever reason, they should have those licenses revoked.
And in terms of the cost then going forward, you know, 2.5 billion we talked about, but that's to go back and retrofit and fix some of the problems. You've already been through that process, and as you say, the kind of the council and others were kind of shamed into it because of the media attention. But you would have been out of pocket, and your neighbours would have been out of pocket. I know there was substantial legal fees. You and I talked about that before. I mean, there's an argument that any redress scheme needs to be retrospective as well, and to pay people back who have paid already to fix the problem.
Yeah, absolutely. Even absolutely, for sure. Even with, like, we had the home bond in place, and that was supposed to be a solution where you had an insurance policy in place that would, you know, you see defects in your property, you go to the home bond and say, look, I have a defect, and that's 10 years, I think, that policy lasts. Even with a policy in place, insurance companies don't pay out money willy-nilly. You have to prove to them that the defects are real, you know, to get them to fund the fix of the buildings and all that. Like, from in Riverwalk Court, our professional fees were about 300 grand, and that was before we got the insurance policy to pay out, and that was only for structural defects. The fire safety defects weren't even covered. So even with insurances in place, you know, there's still massive costs on homeowners to try and get those policies to indemnify and pay out on defects that are discovered. So really, the only solution going forward is to try and stop it happening in the first place.
All right. Well, listen, all issues we'll put to the Minister for Housing a little bit later in the show. Mark Fitzmaurice from Riverwalk Court and Eoin O'Brien, a Sinn Féin TD and the party's housing spokesperson. Thank you both very much for joining me here on the show. Chris is after getting in touch on 53106.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With Nissan.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.